tonight?
Blog Talk.
I'll get on here in a second.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself.
My name is...
What?
My name is...
Dr. Drake.
Yeah.
Mr. Robert Ford.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Can't wait to add Curtis and Gary to that too.
I'm getting ready to get on. Let me mute the TV though.
You're good.
Let's go. Let's get it.
Wow, fellas, America, football is back. Oh my goodness.
Oh, back, baby. Man,
it's been an awesome day to say the least, guys. Again, welcome again, Talking Sports with 12th Man. I had a feeling we're going to lose some of our viewership to the game, but we just could not wait to talk about this. Obviously, everyone's a little crazy busy. We're going to have the game in the background. The game is almost over. I'm sure everyone pretty much predicted, you know, the outcome. Kansas City was going to win just by how much, but pretty good game. Kansas City does not look like they've been rusty, so again, can't wait for Rob to give his shout-outs for us. LSU guys, we're watching for fantasy football purposes. Hopefully, we'll get JQ on. But, man, let's get this party started again. September the 10th, we are making strides, gentlemen. Let's check in with the fellas. JQ, how you feeling this evening, sir?
Man, I can't complain, man. We finally got some football back, bro. I just can't even contain myself right now. So I was a little late getting on here, so my bad.
And quiet as a cat, we got college football this weekend too. You know, not a lot of talk about it, you know. But we got Duke Notre Dame on Saturday, and I mean, we got college football, ACC and Big 12 this weekend. Say what?
I care about Duke Notre Dame. If you don't stop that.
Forget you.
It's football, but nobody's talking about it. We actually have college football this weekend.
Because those games suck. If Notre Dame don't stuff a mud hole in Duke, it's gonna be a problem.
Hey, don't underestimate David Cutcliffe.
Oh, come on.
JQ's been he's been saying a lot of interesting stuff, man. We're gonna get him a quick second, man. So it's all good. Rob Ford, how you feeling, man? Did you have asparagus, man, by the way?
I had some for lunch today, not for dinner tonight though. So
a little
change up, man. But I had some butternut squash here for dinner. So the wife threw down, man, as usual. So, but a bit of asparagus for lunch today, early today.
You going through withdrawals over there, man?
Huh?
You going through withdrawals without your asparagus, by the way?
No. Prior to today, I haven't had any in like 5 or 6 days, so I'm good, man. You know?
That's a lie.
No, it's true.
He had a tear in his eye. Yeah, there was a tear going down his teeth.
That's right, Gary. He's like,
your toilet can't see.
Body's like,
your toilet can't like this.
Yeah,
oh, I love it.
But had some chicken and asparagus for lunch. But no, for dinner, you did the butternut squash. So a little change. You got to have a little change up here and there. But all is good. You know, I see my LSU boys performing tonight. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Tyrann Mathieu forced INT. Go Tigers. Yeah, Tyrann Mathieu is a fellow St. Aug Purple Knight where I went to high school, too.
Where did Chris Jones go to school?
He's not an LSU guy, though.
Okay.
I can't remember, actually. Is it North Carolina?
I'm looking it up. You go ahead, but my bad.
Gary, how you feeling, man? What's going on this evening, sir?
Mississippi State.
You know, I'm doing well. I'm waiting for Curtis. He's over getting ready for another road trip with our friend Bruce. They're heading to Yellowstone in the morning. So he'll be over shortly, I'm assuming. But doing well, doing well.
That's awesome.
I almost went there this past weekend.
Did you?
Just over to Yellowstone and the Humble, huh? Like, I almost went to Yellowstone last week.
I'll tell you what, the West is burning up.
I'm playing Spam through.
Yeah, the West is pretty
now, the wildfires, I saw some friends of mine post some pictures in San Francisco, and, man, the sky was just orange. It was unbelievable.
That's the way it is here.
Yeah.
Did you guys experience it in Oregon, too?
Oh, man, the whole West. The whole
wow.
West. Oregon,
wow.
Washington, Idaho, California, Montana, Utah, Wyoming.
Wow.
Everywhere.
I almost went to Montana this past weekend, too.
I mean,
never been. I almost went there.
It was so smoky. Just walking outside, out front, just 15 minutes ago, and coming back in, it smelled like I was standing around like a campfire or something.
Campfire,
man.
Yeah. It's really bad. In fact, just a town up the road from us, a suburb of Portland, Oregon City. They're Cat 3. They're evacuating right now. You know, that,
wow.
And I mean, this is a suburb, you know, part of Portland. And I've got several of my coworkers that had to go home and pack some stuff up and get the hell out. Yeah.
Wow.
Wow. Okay.
Hoping
well,
things
like
aren't
I said,
burning
I know
up.
Yeah, we have family. My, you know, Marcy's family in Vacaville. They had to evacuate too, man. So it's just a little crazy right now too, man. So please be safe out there for sure, man. So, man, 2020. I gotta say, you know, I don't know what to say, you know. Anyway,
3 more months.
Let's go
2021.
Yeah,
Murphy and Joe.
Hey,
let's just get out of here.
Make the best of it. That's what I keep telling people. You know, hey, all we can do is make the best of it. Control what we can control. And make the best of it.
Absolutely.
Speak positive things.
All right. Mm-hmm. I'm always about speaking positive, too. I'm just like, man, it's just been a rough year. But there's been some positives. And, you know, I know it sounds a little crazy, but there's been some things, too. So, you know, again, I'm like you, Rob. I tend to always be a positive person, have a positive outlook for sure, man. So it's just like, man, just anyway, all good. Hey, really quickly, let me pull the numbers for those calling the show. As always, I think we're going to have a nice night with all four of us, if you get Curtis as well, 5. The number to call is always that 424-243-9519. You know where I was going with that, too. Follow us on the Twitter at the number 12, MEN Sports. And also we're on Facebook, facebook.com/talkingsports with 12th Man. Or if you actually type in 12th Man Sports, you will find us as well. So, again, you know, we had a nice little exchange with JQ, but the first topic out the gate is the prediction from the Dallas Cowboys. So, Gary, you know, how do you feel as far as your prediction with the Cowboys?
Curtis, you're up.
Did we time that?
Go ahead, Curtis. Okay, so first thing I want to say something before I start off with that. I want to talk about the Maurice Lucas Foundation just really quick. You know, Maurice Lucas, you know, Marquette guy, you know, great NBA player, played on our championship team. You know, he's got this foundation that his son is carrying on, and it's a foundation through athletics, exercise, and academics for, you know, grade school, middle school, and high school students. It's a great foundation here in Portland. Bill Walton is, you know, is Maurice Lucas's best friend. In fact, he named Luke Walton after Maurice. So he's really taken a hold of this foundation with Maurice Lucas's son. And really have, you know, started really helping him promote it and get this thing going. So I wanted to mention that briefly before we go, you know, before we go any further with the you know, typical cowboy talk that we do. So I wanted to touch base on that. As far as the Cowboys, you know what Curtis and I have said. I'm not going to call Mike McCarthy Mike McCartney, but, you know, I think that the Cowboys, you know, they're gonna have a test already right off the bat. They got one, you know, it's one game at a time for the Cowboys. If they do anything more than that, and they, you know, I was looking at the predictions for ESPN, and I was looking at the predictions for CBS Sports, and there were 20 commentators. 16 of them picked the Cowboys to win the division. 4 of them picked the, the Eagles. With that said, the Cowboys better not read any of that shit. They better play one game at a time and not get ahead of themselves. You can't win a Super Bowl if you can't make the playoffs. Sure. I believe they're going to make the playoffs, but I believe the only way they're going to make the playoffs is if they start – I don't even want to talk about, what I think they're going to do. I want them to win game one. I want them to beat the Rams in their new stadium. That's the only thing I care about this week as far as sports. So one game at a time. If you don't go one, they're not the Patriots. They're not, the Saints.
Wow.
They're not the Seahawks. They can't look 3 or 4 games ahead, and pick and circle an opponent and buzz through 3 or 4 opponents. They can get beat they can beat anybody if they play their game and they focus, but they can also get beat by anybody. They're a vulnerable team in the secondary. So I just want them to take one game at a time and go from there. So I'm not going to give a prediction. I'm hoping that they follow that.
Yeah. Well, we're taking it one game at a time. I definitely predict that they'll beat the Rams in L.A. It's very heartbreaking for that beautiful, brand-new $5 billion stadium. Won't be able to have fans in Los Angeles. And that's just the day we're in right now. And keep praying that we get through this COVID-19. But it is very heartbreaking to see that beautiful new stadium. We won't have any fans. But I think Dallas is just a better team than the Rams right now. I'm real curious to see how that offensive line for the Rams come out and plays. There's some real concerns there with that O-line. I'll be interested in, how they're replacing Todd Gurley. I know they got Cam Akers. What kind of impact he can have right from the start at the running back position. But I think the Cowboys are just a better team than the Rams. And I look for something like a 31-14 or 31-17 kind of victory for the Cowboys. And as we've said before, I think the Cowboys are the team to beat in that division. When you look at the roster from top to bottom, I think they have a better overall roster than the Eagles. And I think the Cowboys could win a game in the playoffs possibly too. I don't think they'll win the NFC. I don't think they'll make it to the Super Bowl. I think in the best case scenario for them is they can win a playoff game this year, and that could possibly happen.
Yeah, man, what are we talking about, man? I know I said what I said, but come on, man, with this Cowboys talk. You know they're going to win that division, and it's going to come down to whether or not they can get it done in the playoffs. But stop it. Washington is terrible. The Giants are also terrible. Carson Wentz, it's hurt right now. They're talking about a buddy from Oklahoma. Dallas is going to win that. I want to talk about Skip Bayless and what he said about that. He was tripping hard. And I don't know if you heard that when he went out talking about Dak, when he was saying that Dak said he was depressed, when COVID started. And then, Skip just kind of glossed over the fact that, his brother committed suicide. And it's like, come on, man, you can't say nothing like that. What are you doing? Like, I know that's your team.
Right.
And you can't be messing with that dude's mental health issues. That's crazy talk. And, the thing about it is he might have just sparked that whole Cowboys team with that, because it's so ridiculous to come out and say that about it. But the cynic in me feels like Skip Bayless did that on purpose, just to see if he could light a fire under Dak and say, oh, see, they don't believe us. They're talking reckless about us, and get him going. But that's just a terrible way to go about it. I hate to Skip went out there and said that today. That was so bad. But the Cowboys are back in the playoffs. That division is there for the taking. If they don't win that division, you have dodged a bullet if you are Jerry Jones and you're looking for a new quarterback, period.
Yep.
Wow.
Well, I know.
And I appreciate you sending that video clip, JQ. I wasn't aware of that until you sent it, and I watched it. And very disappointed in Skip Bayless and the way he responded to that. In my opinion, actually, I thought Dak Prescott was was man enough to come out and discuss, you know, what his feelings were. And hopefully, you know, some other people can learn from it, particularly men. Because a lot of times we as men, we could be prideful and we're not willing to admit some of the things that we're going through. And and I think, you know, it, if you have a problem, the only way you can fix it is admit it first. And and I think, you know, he was man enough to do that. And if you have a problem, you got to admit it so you can get some help, first of all, as opposed to just keep putting it on the back burner. So I think that was a real positive for Dak. I hope that other men would take notice of that. And, you know, when we need something or we need help with something, that we're willing to speak up about it. And so I actually was, you know, impressed that Dak was willing to admit that.
Curtis, go ahead.
I totally agree with Skip's assessment of it. I mean, disagree
having
with
problems
Skip's
with block talk here, by the way. So, yeah.
I'm just going to throw a side at you guys. And Gary and I were talking about this earlier. One of the big-time problems, I think, with the Cowboys is Jerry Jones. I think Jerry Jones takes all the oxygen out of the room. And I told Gary, I don't know if Mike McCarthy is man enough to tell Jerry, stay out of my locker room and tell his players, if I catch any of you guys going around my back and the way I'm coaching and you go to Jerry to complain about what I'm doing, I'm going to make sure you're fired. I think that needs to happen. And I say that because it dawns on me that in football, you got to be totally locked in. Your whole being in a football season is nothing about football. And if you're distracted in any way on these football teams, they mess you up. You don't play good, and you don't play good as a team.
I think
Jerry Jones is a distraction to when you play for him. And I think that it prevents teams from being locked in on nothing but football. Right. And I think that's a problem. And I think Jerry Jones needs to figure that out, that he might be a hindrance to his football team being the best they can be. Because he's taking out all the oxygen. But this is a great – we're going to see – pretty much what we got. First game. We are going to see first game what this team might turn out to be.
They're going to beat the Rams.
Jimmy Johnson. But yeah.
Cowboys will beat the Rams, no question.
Yeah. Like I said, he's been a hindrance ever since he fired Jimmy Johnson, man. So he didn't let his ego have that. So that's why
you know
Cowboys
what, guys,
are always going to be.
Firing Jimmy Johnson was the beginning of the downfall.
Right. Yeah.
I didn't know you guys were going to be on tonight. I thought you were going to take the night off.
Yeah, we just had I'm having some problems with Blog Talk, so you may have to jump off because it's like not working as well as I want. So stay tuned, Lou. So just FYI. So yeah.
Sounds like my first
show. Yeah, it's all good. We're seeing how that plays out. Hey, really quickly, so we've been excited about NFL starting here, so I know we're trying to compete with that. But, again, looks like Kansas Chiefs are going to pull us off. Rob, this is week one predictions. I know you got the Packers, Vikings, and big game Buccaneers, Saints. So we'll let you kick off that, man, and we'll go around the horn, if you will, to kind of get everyone's thoughts about that, if you will, sir.
Yeah, I mean, from the – you know, starting off with the Packers at the Vikings here, I know the Vikings got a big blow, Danielle Hunter, on injured reserve. So he's probably going to miss at least six games. And you were thinking from a defensive end standpoint, him and Ngakoue was going to form a great 1-2 punch. But now they don't have Danielle Hunter, a big blow to that team. But even without him, I'm going to go with the Vikings in a real close game. at home this weekend. I'm going to look at a 24-21 Vikings win. I know they won't have any fans, but I'm going to work a close game. Vikings beating the Packers at home. When you know we're looking at it, when you look at Cook and you look at the Justin Jefferson acquisition, and then even without Danielle Hunter defensively, they just have more players than the Packers have, in my opinion. So I'm going to go with the Vikings in a close win at home. And in regards to the Bucs and the Saints, of course I'm going to pick the Saints, right? But in all seriousness, you know, obviously the Saints are going to be playing without fans either. But in all seriousness, I think when you look at the Buccaneers standpoint, I think they're going to have a really good season this year and going to be in the playoffs. The main reason I'm picking Saints in this one is that, number one, it's still a home game. Number two, I think cohesion is probably going to be in their favor with the lack of preseason games. And the Bucs, you know, have a mostly a lot of new acquisitions, and it'll be their first game together. So I think that gives the Saints an advantage. Well, most of their team has been intact here for the last few years. So I'm going to go with the Saints at home in that one. I'm going to say 34-24 Saints.
Got a final here.
Wow.
Thank you.
I mean, he's a Saints fan, so I get it. They're playing at home, but he don't have that home field advantage, so to speak. That's going to be a really close game, but I will give him the nod on that. That when you have cohesion, dude, that you should join to, and maybe that works against them because they've got Emmanuel Sanders now. He hasn't had as much time to work with Drew Brees, but he still has that dude, Michael Thomas, that's just been a beast. It's going to be a closer game than that. I think it's going to be a one-possession game, 3 to 7 points, I really do. But what you also have is, I know Brock hasn't played, but Tom Brady knows where Gronk likes to be. So you may not see so much Michael Evans and Chris Godwin in week one, but you'll see more Brady to Brock, I think, if Brock is in good health. But I'm giving that in terms of the Saints beating the Bucs. I think it's a closer game than that. And I absolutely think that Dallas definitely beats the Rams. And I think Minnesota, even without Neil Hunter, that Green Bay offense is not what it was. And even without him, he's a pass rusher. But that Minnesota defense is still good up the middle when you start talking about those linebackers and Harrison Smith as strong safety. And that's what Green Bay wants to do now under the floor is run, and then have Rodgers throw the ball. And that's not going to work against Minnesota. You're going to have to spread Minnesota out because Minnesota lost a lot of secondary members. So I don't know if they're going to change their game plan. But last year, Green Bay was really a run-heavy team, first and second down. So I think it takes them a little time to figure that out due to the cohesion as well. So I'm actually going to go with Rob on those first two.
Nice. Yeah. I'm glad you cleared up your phone too, man. I thought it was Block Talk or what, man. That sounded kind of weird, man. So I thought it was just me, man. So good stuff.
I think that is one game that I'm going to watch. It is the Saints Buccaneers game. I think that's going to be an intriguing matchup. I do think. You know, I think that game is going to be one of those games. I'm not going to give the nod to the Saints. I think that's going to be just a pickup game. Maybe even who has the ball last, because both of those quarterbacks have that ability. If they have the ball last, to drive your team down and win a big game. So I think it's going to be one of those types of games. I think it's going to be a neat game to watch. Of course, I want to watch my team, you know, on Sunday night because, you know, they're in that new stadium. I'm really curious about that stadium. Curtis and I missed out going down to that stadium, and we had this invite to go down and tour that, be the first ones to tour that stadium. I lost. Somehow I lost the information. So Curtis has been mad at me. He pouted.
I did pout. Yes, I did. But and the word was intriguing. Which of the 40 plus quarterbacks are going to fall off the cliff first? Somebody on this broadcast said Father Time is undefeated.
Sure, thank you.
Sadly, in athletics, if it's going to fall off, it's going to fall off like you slid off a cliff. And so with these two quarterbacks, which one's going to slide off that cliff first? That's intriguing.
Yeah, that's what everyone's definitely intrigued about that, yeah. We're still trying to figure out which Tom Brady you're getting. Is he enough? I mean, he's going to be able to, again, inspire that team. But, yeah, are the physical tools there? Can he win without Bill Belichick? We have a lot of questions. And like you said, Gary, I think the whole NFL will be definitely intrigued about that game, right, in addition to, you know, Rob, obviously. But it's going to be interesting to see what's happening. You know, you surround Brady with all those weapons. We'll see. So we're very excited to see what's going to happen with that first game out the gate. Hey, Rob, you want to talk about the top 2021 NFL prospects here? Oh, I didn't get a chance to ask Lou your question. I'm sorry, Lou. Go ahead, man. My bad. Your thoughts on that? Lou, you still with us?
I'm still here.
Is he in the
picture? Okay. Yeah, go ahead. I don't know. You have any thoughts on what we talked about the first couple games?
Well, I jumped in late, so.
Gotcha. Cool. Hey, Rob, get those last, I think this is Naj calling in too as well. Let me see if this is Naj calling in. Naj, is that you, bro?
Yeah, man, what's going on, bro?
The man, the myth, the legend,
oh,
calling in. Good to see you, man.
Hey, man, I'll call Search and Rescue for you, man. I was calling Search and Rescue to find where you were.
Making sure you're good.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm good, man. You know how it is, man.
We
were hard to catch y'all boys, man.
No, we're either going to be Wednesday or Thursday. The only time we do, like, if we switch it up, and like I said, if you let us know what's going on with you, man, we'll give you a quick heads up, man, because I was traveling from Charlotte. I didn't know I was going to get the show on tonight, and we knew that we were going to battle the game, but it seemed like Kansas City pretty much had that in hand, so it was enough for us to jump on a quick call, if you will, man. So yeah, your thoughts on that. We were talking about the Bucks and the Saints. In kind of the kind of week one predictions, if you will.
Well,
man. So
I don't think the Saints are going
to
win
that. You don't think so?
I mean, Saints win it. Saints win it.
Yeah, gotcha. Go ahead. Yep. Good, Dosh.
Yeah, man. I mean, I don't think anybody's surprised. This is kind of what we expected. One team has ran well. One team has ran terribly. So you kind of get those kind of outcomes. The sad part is, like, Deshaun is going to get all of the blowback for this, and it's going to be sad because this season is going to go typically how we saw this game go, to where they kind of get some stats at the end and make it a little closer, but it won't be really indicative of how bad they are. And, you know, O'Brien's going to skate probably until the season is over. But, yeah, Deshaun is going to catch hell for this year, man. And the Chiefs look like the Chiefs. The young boy – looks like the real deal as a lead back with Williams spelling them. Mahomes wasn't even hot, just a normal, you know, 300, three tuds, you know what I mean? No big deal. You know what I'm saying?
You're at the sleep, huh?
Regular Thursday.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, yeah,
he didn't even go for 300.
You know?
He went for 211.
Thursday.
He went for 211
with three
touchdowns.
Sweat. He was barely breaking a sweat, right? He's like, he's doing his thing. Yeah, here you go. All right, I'll have the ball off.
That's crazy, though.
Like you said.
Unless you boys came to play, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Tyrann Mathieu.
Now, here we go.
He ain't have to throw a lot of yards because Tyrann Mathieu put him inside the 10-yard line for the easy score.
Here we go. So, hey, just really quickly,
he had a nice game,
the
and
game.
He looked good, but there's a lot of fantasy football owners cursing his name right now for all those goal line carries where he couldn't get it in. But, yeah, he
good. Hey, but speaking of that, tell us about, like, I'm curious because, you know, you talked about, you know, that Deshaun can get, like, a lot of the blowback. They are going into a gauntlet. Like, they're playing Baltimore next week. I think they have. They were talking about their schedule. They just have, like,
Minnesota.
Pretty serious. Minnesota, and then who else do they play? They play another one of the – I just listening right now.
Yeah.
But
they're – That's about to stupid.
Yeah. It's going to be crazy for them. So, I mean, I'm not a fan of Bill O'Brien. He may look a little smarter, I mean, because David Johnson looked a little decent. Obviously, is still, you know, up for the air for him to, you know, trading the, you know, DeAndre Hopkins. He got a couple of second-rate receivers, you know, getting Cooks, getting, you know, Randall Cobb. So we'll see, right? What's your thoughts about that?
No, they're going to be bad, man. And honestly, if they're really bad with this tough schedule, that may get Bill O'Brien fired quicker, so that may be better for them for the long term. It's like a restaurant that you like, but it just ran badly. So you get there, hey, I want this with that side that I like, so fried okra or mashed. Oh, we ain't got okra today. Oh, we ain't got that today. They just bungle everything. So because of that, you can't really put together a good meal, man. So that's just what you're looking at, man. Bill O'Brien is incompetent in both capacities. How the hell do you do that?
Yeah.
And
those are good points. You know, I'm actually here in Houston, and I can tell you, just talking to a lot of Texans fans, they've been wanting Bill O'Brien fired for quite some time now. I was just having a conversation with a Texans fan last night, and they're, you know, just been hoping that he's been – I mean, they have no excitement about the season. They're still disappointed about the DeAndre Hopkins trade. They don't understand how he's still in office. As Andre would say, he must have pictures. And, the fans here have been thoroughly disappointed with the organization and the fact that they still have Bill O'Brien running that team. And he's your general manager, too. A lot of people forget that.
Yeah. That's why they're going to fire him. I'm telling you, they're not going to fire that dude. What you just said
is
100% fact. No, what you said is 100% fact. I pay one dude to do two jobs for one, so now I got to find two different dudes to replace him. And the fact he goes, guess what? We played the two teams that were in the AFC Championship last year in back-to-back weeks in Kansas City and Baltimore. Then we get Minnesota's heavy ass in week three. They're gonna give him a pass. I promise you they're going to give him a pass and say we had the worst opening schedule of anybody in the league. If he finishes 500 or one game over 500 after that, he keeps his job. I'm telling you.
Wow. Hey, Nash, all right.
Which job? Which job?
No, the Sunday night football matchup. No, Sunday night football. The Rams are hosting the Cowboys. Who's your pick on that one? This is Gary out west. Gary and Curtis out west. We want your take on that.
Yeah, what up, Gary and Curtis? I even got to think about this one, man. We're looking at another situation where things have been mismanaged. Your boy had him over a barrel, so they had to pay him, and he was able to squeeze, you know, almost what, like 10% more than what the other corner has set the market at, Tre'Davious White. And you're paying Aaron Donald all the money and the cornerback all the money. How do you put together a roster after that? Then you got McVay, who the shine is worn off of him. And you got a running back by committee who nobody knows who's on the committee. Like, why do we think that they're going to be good? Like, I seriously doubt that the Rams are going to be a good team this year. I think the Cowboys win this one easy. And that's not really a, you know, big endorsement of the Cowboys. I just think the Rams are going to be bad, man. You're asking Jared Goff to be something he's not.
They're going to finish last in that division, too. Even Arizona is going to be ahead of the Rams in that division this year. No doubt about it.
Yeah.
And most importantly, as we talked about earlier in the show, it's the Rams' offensive line that worries me than anything else. Offensively, they won't be able to run the football and they won't be able to protect the quarterback. That's going to be cause for concern, which is going to cause them to have a lot of turnovers on offense because they can't protect the quarterback or the running back.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
I mean, that McVay is over, man. Like, I have no idea how you let a guy come in and overpay by position, trade all of your picks. I don't think they've had a first rounder in like 3 years. You know what I'm saying? Like,
something like that.
How do you put that together at this point, man? You're capped out and untalented.
You go all in, push all the chips on the table, man. That's what you do, man.
He said it was capped out and untalented.
He said tapped out and untalented.
I think I said that before on this program. I think Houston's going cheap. I think the only reason why Bill O'Brien's there, apparently, I don't know the owner of the team in Houston. I wish I did, but he really sounds like he's a cheapskate. Yeah, he's going cheap.
He was right in my mouth.
It was
Bob McNair. He was super rich, but I know he passed away, so I don't know who's running the team now.
Well, somebody's always got any money. Well, somebody tried to do it cheaply, because that's the only reason Bill O'Brien should have been gone. But I think they got him cheap, and I think that's where they're at. You know?
It's not legal type shit. It's the Bengals. You pay Marvin Lewis to be the GM and the head coach. You keep him for fucking ever. That is what Houston is going to do. I'm telling you. He ain't going nowhere. I'm trying to tell you, man.
Go on the city. Go on. Be done.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess it's on the owner.
Texans got smoked and the Rockets, too.
My favorite team has an overall owner. He's an overall owner. He needs to be in the – people don't need to know him.
JQ, you're coming up, bro. Yeah.
I'm still here. I just want to refresh my drink.
No, go ahead. I got you. No, man, it's been good. Hey, we got 11:35 here. Lou, did you have anything else to say on that, bro? Or are you just we're just going off, man, going in on Houston.
I just finished watching the game, and, you know – it looked like a good game in the beginning, but then Kansas City proved to be just too strong. So I'll just leave it at that. I thought it was going to be a much better game. But you know the thing is that Kansas City can be a lot of fans, and other cities just like New York and LA won't allow fans. I mean, you call that fair? I don't think that's right. Either they should allow fans in all stadiums or none at all.
Because Kansas City ain't got shit else happening. It was like, yeah, y'all come on down. I know ain't nothing else happening here.
Yeah.
That ain't the same thing in New York. Well, them people would be in Blue Kansas City up there with the Chiefs opener. And they getting their rings? Stop playing. They're going to have people in the stadium. For sure. They're going to let that whole city catch COVID. They're going to have people in the stadium.
And it was, those 16,000 fans are fairly loud, too.
They were real loud.
Like, yeah, they were like, there's no artificial noise. That was pretty surprising. I'm like, what? Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah.
Well, we're gonna have to watch the reporting on each city after a game like this. So you know, we'll know in 2 weeks if we see an uptick or something like that. And other teams are probably gonna try to handle it accordingly. But overall, man, like, is it really fun to be in a, like, I don't know, spaced out, like, barely full arena anyway? Like, that takes away the whole effect of being in the stadium anyway, to me. Like, that don't sound like a fun trip. I'm going to pay for parking.
Yeah, but it's almost like watching it in your living room and seeing it in person.
And it ain't
I don't know. I feel like that's like watching it in your living room but actually being there, because now you ain't got to bump into nobody trying to go to the bathroom. You ain't got to wait no 25-minute concession stand line. Like, I mean, you go out to just go completely berserk and have the whole little area to yourself. So, I mean, it depends on what kind of experience you're looking for, I think. But, like, if I paid the money,
You telling me that's beating 4K with your own friends, your own food, your own drinks? You telling me it's beating that? I don't think so, man. I think home experience is killing that.
I love 4K. I do think home experience is killing that.
Okay, I'm serious.
Hey, did you see the tailgate, though? And I think they must have had a big screen out there. That parking lot was full. And it looked like some people were having a good time.
There's nothing else to do in Kansas City.
Hey, you got the Negro Baseball Hall of Fame in Kansas City, man.
You can only
really
see that twice.
How many times can you go to that? Come on, man.
How many times can you go to that?
Man,
3 times a week? Yeah, but
Kansas City,
you're trying to find the best barbecue you can find.
Really good barbecue.
Some of the best baked beans I've ever had in my life, too. Yeah, but I've been at an LA Rams tailgate, and they were having wet T-shirt contests.
It's
nice and warm down there. Anything goes down there in LA at a tailgate. That's the most fun tailgate I've ever been at. The L.A. Rams tailgate at the Coliseum.
Man, that was a ton of fun. New topic.
Gotta make sure that I'm
talking. Oh, they were doing it in L.A.
Wow.
All I'm saying
I love
is
it.
If you buy tickets and you might have to sign a waiver, or there's some little words on the back of your ticket that indicate that it's somewhat like a waiver, that might be a bad idea. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, you're right there. You know, is going to a football game worth getting COVID or, you know, absolutely not. Even those teams, you know, even that spaced out area, you know, you're still putting, you may be fine as a young person, but you come in, you're my age, I'm 60, you know, I'm the one that's going to, you know, that's going to croak over that, something like that. I'm one of those people that are in that group that's, you know, most vulnerable with it. And with that said, you got to, you know, curses too, you know, and we got to watch that stuff. And would it be worth it for us to go to something like that? No way. No way in
the
hell.
The Cowboys, man, in Jerry's world, man, what? I'm in heaven.
Man,
you gotta pay at the home.
Jerry would fight your estate about paying you for the rest of his life. Jerry ain't paying you, he gets in his game. Like, no.
Oh, well, you said the key thing. What's on the back of those tickets? And how many of us get that magnifying glass and take a look at every word on the back of that ticket? Not very many, but it is on every single NFL ticket. And like I said, I've been to 3 Super Bowls. It is a good idea to know what's on the back of that ticket. That back of that ticket tells you a lot that you didn't think was really the truth.
And it's probably something that you can't figure out. It's probably something worded to where, you know, some lawyer wrote some fancy ass double talk.
Innocuous.
But guess what it means?
Innocuous statement.
You're screwed if you get sick.
Yeah. You're liable.
Yeah, no. Yeah, no, Curtis, you can't take the wet t-shirt contest into the Super Bowl, bro. That's what the back of the Super Bowl.
That was pretty hilarious, by the way.
That was Ocean Boulevard. Yeah. That was Ocean Boulevard in Miami. Especially when the Hoosier stands were there.
Curtis is my new guy. That's how you got
that Jerry Springer show going on with him, boy. I need to go hang out with Curtis for real.
LA. If you guys never did an LA tailgate, it's unbelievable what they do down there.
We gotta go to the next topic.
Really quickly, before we do that, man, I just gotta give a shout out to I give Rob a lot of credit. I didn't think he was actually gonna put this topic on there. I thought I was gonna fight tooth and nail. But shout out to the Braves, man, scoring a franchise record 29 runs. That's only the 20th time a major league team has done that, scored 25 or more. It's the fourth time in the last 120 years a National League team has done that. It's like that's the first time a National League team did it since the modern era, since like the 1900s, man. So, like, crazy 7 home runs. I mean, just the insane amount of RBIs, man. I mean, just again, I was just excited to see that, man. From what are you looking at?
Yeah.
What's wrong, JQ?
Yeah, come on, man.
No,
Brian McCann is somewhere kicking furniture. He was furious at the unwritten rules of the game being violated like that. Oh, y'all gonna keep Acuna in? Freddie's up and get like Brian McCann was somewhere heated, bro.
Yeah, he was.
I think they showed the stats. The last time the Falcons played the Dolphins, the Braves and the Marlins scored more runs than the Falcons and the Dolphins scored in that football game.
Right.
Compared to the Rays and the Marlins the other day.
Could be anything better?
I know I had to look twice when I saw that score. I was like, 29 runs?
29
runs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Adam
DeVall, 7th inning grand slam.
He had like
what, three home runs, a two
nine
home
RBIs,
runs, and then the grand slam. Yeah, that was nuts, man.
Yeah.
Like,
I know. You're welcome, Atlanta. Good job, Cincinnati. Way to trade into Atlanta for some spare parts and a damn used tire. And he goes out there, hits the damn grand slam, and has three home runs. Sorry, bastard.
Are you a little too irritated?
Acuna was in the game late. Freddie Freeman was in the game late. They didn't pull nobody, bro. It was so disrespectful.
They just
I laughed
kept going.
My ass off.
They just kept going, man. I know, man. I was like buried in my life, man. I hate him so much, man.
You know what?
It was awesome.
I got a good line for you. My buddy sent me a text. He said, I think the Marlins just letting their fans go out there to pitch for charity. They just signed up and said they got a position to pay some money.
Just like serving up stuff, man. Oh, man.
That was ridiculous.
That was awesome. That was awesome, man. Anyway, I appreciate that, Rob. Hey, we got like
payback.
15 minutes left
payback.
In the show. It was definitely payback, man. I'm with you. Let's see if anything else to talk about. That was just great, man. So, hey, Rob, a couple things we want to talk about before we wrap up the show because, again, there's a couple topics that I am very interested in, like what's next for Giannis and the Bucks. Get a quick check on the free agency report. And then I know it's going to be tough right now, Rob, to talk about the NCAA tournament with 346 teams, if you will. So I guess we've got
two weird
options
two
as far
weird.
As recap a couple things too. But I definitely want to talk about, you know, Rob, those 2021 NFL prospects, and then we got to get to some quick NBA talk if we can too. So what?
Well, obviously, there's no changes at the top with Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields and Panay Sewell and Jamar Chase. The big changes move Alex Leatherwood, offensive tackle from Alabama, up to 5. Move Patrick Surtain, cornerback from Alabama, up to number 7. Michael Parsons, linebacker, Penn State. Another big move was Wyatt Davis. JQ obviously knows him, interior offensive lineman. Might be the best interior lineman in the draft from Ohio State. Moving him up to 9. Khalil Farley, cornerback, Virginia Tech, up to 11. And the guy to watch, too, Wake Forest, ACC still playing football, Carlos Basham, edge rusher from Wake Forest. This is a guy that possibly can move up into the top 8. I have him at number 12. Jalen Waddle, wide receiver from Alabama at 14. Trey Lance, another guy, quarterback, North Dakota State, to watch, potential to move into the top 10. A guy who I didn't have in my top 32 recently, Trayvon Murray, safety from TCU, have him at number 17. Marvin Wilson, defensive tackle from Florida State. If he can keep his weight under control, he's another one that can possibly get into the top 10. A lot of potential. Dylan Moses, linebacker from Alabama, 23. My cousin and safety from Pittsburgh, Paris Ford, have him at number 25. And JQ's favorite school, Michigan, Jalen Mayfield, offensive tackle from Michigan, at number 26. Got an Oregon player, Javon Holland, safety from Oregon, number 27. And number one rated running back in the draft as of now, Travis Etienne, Louisiana kid playing at Clemson.
No, he's at Clemson.
At number 28. And then I added a second running back in the top 32, Kenny Gainwell, running back from Memphis. And it is updated on our Facebook page.
Yeah, you got Sean Wade at from Ohio State.
Who?
Sean Wade.
I have him at number 30, cornerback.
Okay.
Good job.
Hey,
did
no,
you
I,
say,
was
did you say Patrick,
I know he's been in that.
Did you say Patrick Surtain?
Yeah.
Junior.
Yep, cornerback at Alabama.
Man.
Have number 7.
Leo.
Yeah, I know. We all thought about the same thing. I was like, man, I remember Patrick Surtain playing for the Dolphins, and he's got it.
Yeah,
we
old.
Are old, man. We remember that, man. Remember the original.
Still pissed at him.
He
was initially
have...
committed to LSU and changed his mind with Alabama.
Yeah.
Smart kid, man. Hey, does anyone have any update about the Rob's? Anything about that? Cool.
No, that's like a simple thing, you know, I'm talking to the top of the tree, that's a big time.
Yeah, all right, let's start with this here. So, obviously, what happens with, and I know this is kind of, I'm going to let JQ talk, and I want, you know, obviously I want Naj to talk about this and get to West Coast, because I'm sure you guys are really excited about this too. So, what happens now with Giannis and the Bucks, man, because – and Lou, get on here, too, in a quick second, too, because now you saw what happened. You saw, you know, JQ was pretty much beating that drum that, you know, Chris Middleton was overpaid, yada, yada, yada. And now we have the situation where, you know, Giannis got hurt. You know, I would try to figure out how to make that play. But the Bucks are officially out, man. What's going on, man? What's your thoughts about this?
Well, I mean, now they're in that same situation that Oklahoma City found themselves in with Kevin Durant. And it's not necessarily apples to apples because Kevin Durant was up 3-1 on those Golden State Warriors before he joined them. But if you're Giannis, you looked around, he said all the right things. Like, you know, I'm staying here. You know, he didn't throw any gasoline on the fire. And I give him a lot of credit for that. But, you know, that's also an emotional time when that happens. And he don't want to feel like he's throwing his locker room under the bus. But at some point, you look around, you look at Eric Bledsoe, who can't throw the ball into the ocean for a jump shot. You know what I mean? And Chris Middleton is overpaid. And you're looking at, okay, you're going to pay me. You've already given Chris Middleton this money. Bledsoe still has a decent amount of money left on his contract. Where do you go to get pieces to make us a better team? Am I going to look around here and say, I'm going to run this back with this same exact team, minus some minor changes on your 12, 13, 14, 15 players on your team? Nobody's going to make a real impact unless you package Middleton and convince somebody to buy with a pick to get somebody else. It's a hard sell, I feel like, for Giannis to tell him that we're going to be able to do this in the East, because this is not the least of your conference. You see Toronto playing good ball. Play a great game against Boston the other day. They're going to game 7. You got Boston, who's also going to be there. You got Miami, who's going to always play good defense. And Jimmy Butler's got them in the Eastern Conference Finals now. You look at the Sixers and say, well, Miami. Maybe Brett Brown was just a bad coach, but they've got a lot of talent on that roster. They can make some moves with a pick and trade a player to go get somebody else. You're looking at those teams, if you're Giannis in the Milwaukee, can we crack that ceiling and consistently be a finalist in the NBA Finals for years to come if I re-sign for max money? I just don't know if he looks around that locker room and he's real with himself and says, yeah, we got this, we're back. This is just one of these this is not just one of these growing pains where, you know, some teams like we grew up with where you had to make it through a Boston or a Detroit if you're Chicago and whatnot to go through these levels of the Eastern Conference. I just don't see that being, you know, the trajectory for this Bucks team. So I really feel like, you know, Giannis is going to look himself in the mirror and say, can he do it in Milwaukee? And I just don't think he will. It's going to be a point where they are middling. He's going to look around and say, I can't do it, and I'm out.
You know, wasted it.
Well, I think the problem is this when it comes to the Milwaukee Bucks right now. The problem is no star in this league is not going to want to move to Milwaukee. They're going to have to get lucky in the draft with some players that they can build around them. That's the only – you're going to be able to get role players to go there and play with them, but you're not going to be able to convince another star in this league to go move to Milwaukee. And,
it's only 2 hours from Chicago.
Say what?
It's only 2 hours from Chicago.
It's only 2 hours. Exactly. It's 2 hours from Chicago. It's not Chicago. it's 2 hours from Chicago. And so they're going to have to get creative, and that's why they overpaid for Chris Middleton, and because they that's the best thing they can do to keep a somewhat decent player to stay around them. So that's going to be the problem with Milwaukee, is they're going to have to get lucky in the draft, which they kind of did with Giannis. I call that – well, I don't know if it was luck or they just did a really good job scouting him because, you know, he wasn't even projected to be as high as they drafted him at that time of the draft when they picked him 10th overall. And they're going to have that kind of creative scouting to build their team in order for them to be successful with Giannis. Now, I think it's very classy of Giannis to say all the right things in a tough situation. And I truly believe him. I don't think he has any desires to ask for a trade at this current time. Now, that obviously can change in a few years. And you know, just being totally honest, some of our players that grew up here in America are prima donnas, and he probably doesn't have that attitude. So I think, but in order for them to win and win a championship, they're going to have to get lucky in the draft. They're not going to be able to convince another star to go play with
them. How do you define lucky?
In Milwaukee, unfortunately.
Especially picking at the back end of the draft. No, the problem started 2 years ago when they had the ultimate choice to make. Malcolm Brogdon or Bledsoe. They chose to pick the more athletic, faster guy instead of the skilled guy, which was Malcolm Brogdon. Malcolm Brogdon pushed them in a different place if they have him now. But since they don't, they got to get off of Bledsoe. He's got to go. Like, that's job number one. And real solution here, because you got to ultimately say what this is. This is like a one-year project where they got to try something out and hope it works. You got to go get the good guy, man. You got to go get CP3. Go get the old man.
Ooh.
Even though he's owed $40 million over the next 2 years, you got to go get per year for the next 2 years. You got to go get him. And OKC's ready to rebuild, so they'll be willing to part with him. You bring him in with Giannis, I would say get a new coach. Bud, look, man.
Get out, coach.
Bud's long rotations are good for the regular season. It doesn't work in the playoffs. There are certain guys that should not be playing.
Yeah.
And that's just something Bud has to either understand or he has to go. And you try to convince Giannis to stay. But you got to go all in next year. But to me, that's the move.
I'll tell you, I like that move. I think that's probably a guy you might be able to get to come to Milwaukee because he wants to win the championship. And you put him with Giannis at this stage of his career because you're not going to be able to convince a 20-something-year-old star to move to Milwaukee. But at the end of Chris Paul's career, I mean, he's tried Houston. He's tried L.A. He got forced to go to OKC. And so, I mean, at this stage – you know, and that salary he's got, too. You know, maybe Milwaukee swing for the fences and try to go after him at this latter part of his career. Because obviously what you just saw in the playoffs from Chris Paul, he's still got game. There's no doubt about it, even though he's 35 or maybe 36 next year.
Well,
a two-year run possibly with him for a run at a title might work.
So it's scary.
And I want to see a coach who's willing to play Giannis at the five for stretches of the game, at least like 15 to 20 minutes. Play Giannis at center. Don't have him initiating the offense and running the break and pushing the ball up court, because that's when you see him get gassed and then get pulled and put it back in. Like, no, play him down low sometimes. Let him eat down there against those big guys instead of trying to do all the skill things that he's really not that good at anyway.
Well, I like what somebody said about Chris Paul, but I was thinking also him and Chris Paul need to figure out if they can go get that Bradley Beal out of Washington.
Mm.
Ask him to come on up with us too, Bradley. Come on up.
Mm. Can't wait to go to Milwaukee. You don't stop that.
What good is Washington doing that boy?
It would be a beautiful thing. It's just Milwaukee doesn't have the assets to get him from Washington. You offer Chris Middleton, they hang up the phone.
Chris Paul?
Yeah.
OKC is rebuilt.
Coming to Milwaukee. It's just like coming to Portland. They're not going to come.
Oh.
You know?
It is.
But like I said, they don't have enough to get them anyway, man. Like, Washington's not taking what Milwaukee has. So,
I mean,
I would love
for Giannis to come and play with Damian, you know? But that would be fantastic. I would give up the kitchen sink for that. Not going to happen.
Man, if you call them folks talking about Whiteside and Nurkic, they're going to want to fist fight you, man. The Milwaukee
No, you got to give them CJ. No. You got to give them CJ. You have to give them CJ. Any deal for Giannis, you have to pack in CJ with
Whiteside, Collins, and a first-round pick. Bring him in.
Damon Lillard, he ain't changing teams like these other chumps in the NBA.
I'm talking about him coming to Portland, yeah. That would be fantastic. Not going to happen. Wishful thinking, that would be good.
Well, I don't know.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, you all hear the music here. That wraps up the live portion of our show. That wraps up the live portion of our show. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be back on Wednesday night next week. Wednesday night next week, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. We thank you all for tuning in to another great edition on this special Thursday night. We'll be back to our regular scheduled night on Wednesday night or next week. We're getting ready to go to our OT portion. Of course, we got some great NBA conversations still to come, so you don't want to miss it. Click on the same link for the rest of the week, and you'll get to hear the remainder of the show. Good night, people.
Yeah, absolutely. Appreciate y'all for listening to us. Please stay tuned and download this link for the OT portion. I'm sorry, Gary and Curtis, I'm going to let you have it to start this OT portion because I'm with you. I think it has to start with TJ to get anybody going.
It kicks it in. It always kicks it in like 30 seconds left.
Yeah.
That is
they gotta figure that
like,
out.
Yeah. You'd have
I'll
to pass CJ
but...
in with the deal for sure. And that'd be fine. You've got Gary Clint Jr. that could slot there. But that would, I mean, I would be licking my chops to have a guy like Giannis playing, you know, with Dame. You know, that would be phenomenal.
You would a lot of you
not
would
gonna
lot
happen.
Of people, that's a great. Yeah.
But that would just be
that'd be nasty.
That would be great.
That'd be nasty.
Yeah, that would definitely he adds a lot to a lot of squads, man, just having that. But he just needs that one extra, you know, help, if you will, man. Because and Chris Middleton, as you said, you know, for the 15,000 millionth time, Eric Bledsoe, they're not the answers, you know. It's just and you feel like you're going to waste Giannis's career, man. So, but you know, like you said, you know, CP3, Naj, that could be the answer, man. If that's enough, man, to make that happen, man. So,
yeah.
I don't know, man. We need to have you as a GM, man. That's a good call for sure. Go ahead, Rob. What you about to say?
No, I know. OKC is definitely going to be looking to move Chris Paul. I mean, that's definitely something that they're looking to do. To get those numbers off the books and kind of start fresh. And OKC has a boatload of draft picks over here the next several years.
A ton of
draft picks. So they're looking to reshape that organization. That's part of the reason why Billy Donovan didn't want to stay and be a part of that plan. OKC did offer him a 2-year extension prior to the restart, and he turned it down because he didn't want to be any part of the rebuilding and getting rid of Chris Paul and things of that nature. So, and Billy Donovan may be interested in going back to college where he was really successful. But they're going to be looking for a taker on Chris Paul this summer. But you got to have a team that can take over that salary, and there's going to be a possible reduction in the salary cap with the loss of revenue in the NBA from the coronavirus.
Yeah, but the other piece of that, too, is a 2-year extension is only makes you feel a lame year duck head coaching the first year of your extension because I can get away from you after a year. Everybody looks like, well, you only got one more year left on your deal. So a 2-year extension is a slap in the face anyway to me because you're always closer for that next extension right after that, which is only going to be 2 years. And you're right. Oklahoma City has a ton of draft assets, but they don't want to take back Chris Middleton's contract because they want to share a contract. So the only thing about that is what do you give them if you're Milwaukee, but they necessarily want, how many picks can you actually hoard if you're Oklahoma City? Where, you know, you're looking at you have 23 picks over the next 7 years. All of these ain't making a roster. And nobody wants to come to Oklahoma City and play. Even if like going to Milwaukee, it's probably freaking worse. So, I mean, I just don't know what Milwaukee could give, you know, Oklahoma City to make them be like, yeah, give me that.
Cap space deals. It would be like guys on 1-year deals or expiring deals, the Marvin Williams types, the Lopez brothers types. You'll be giving them those guys so they can use that to get another asset later. Like, remember, they wanted to start the rebuild this year. They just didn't know Chris Paul had that much juice left, and he came in being super leader coach guy and got them to the playoffs while the owner and the GM was up in the box looking like, what's that, Major League, rooting against their own team. Like, damn, what are you doing? Stop winning. They get to the playoffs because of Chris Paul.
That's awesome.
So, I mean,
that's awesome.
He's still got a lot.
That's when,
still got a lot left, man.
That's when the whole fucking
thing. He still has a lot. He impressed me.
Yeah, but the only thing they did wrong, they should have walked away with that series, but they couldn't figure out how to finish. That was terrible if you watch that. How do you not have a play? How do you not figure out how to get a shot up? They couldn't even get a shot up against a no-defense Houston.
Yeah.
They should have took that one out. They really should have.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they got as far as they should have, man. That's not a good team. Like, they had no business being there. That's the genius of Chris Paul, him getting them that far. So we'll see, man. Mm-hmm. But Adams will be on the block, too. So a center will be available for somebody who's a contender.
Wow. Hey, what's the so, Rob, what's the free agency report that you got for this for NBA real quick as we get ready to wrap this up?
Well, it obviously starts with Anthony Davis. I mean, I don't think he's going anywhere. But obviously he is the guy that's going to be number one free agent available. And he's on a player option, too. But obviously he will be that guy. And you look at Brandon Ingram, who's a restricted free agent with the Pelicans. So I know the Pelicans are obviously looking to hopefully sign him to at least a 4 or 5 year deal. But he's another guy who won the NBA's most improved player this year. DeMar DeRozan, another one on a player option too. So it'll be interesting to see what he decides to do. Then Fred VanVleet, obviously got a big game against the Celtics tomorrow night, but he'll be an unrestricted free agent. Montrezl Harrell from the Clippers, unrestricted free agent. Then you look at guard Haywood, who'll be on a player option. Bogdan Bogdanovic from the Kings, restricted free agent. Andre Drummond on a player option. And then you have Davis Bertans from the Wizards, unrestricted. And Gallinari for the OKC, unrestricted as well. Mm-hmm. So those kind of looking like your best available free agents. Whether, you know, some of them restricted, some of them still on the player option, so they'll have to wait to see what they decide. But that's what's possibly available this offseason.
Yeah, I doubt Drummond goes to the open market. I think he's going to hold on to that bag real tightly because I don't think he can get it if he actually put himself available. So that's, you know, that's one big
deal.
The other guys, yeah, they might possibly explore it. Bogdanovich, you would think the Kings would keep him and get rid of Buddy, but who knows, man? They're weird.
Didn't they just sign Buddy to an extension, though? I thought they did.
Yep, they did.
Okay, yeah.
And they ditched him. So, who knows?
Yeah, they are weird. That's a weird call. I'm with you, Naj, because it doesn't make any sense. We're good. Curtis, Gary, what you guys got?
Curtis, what do you got?
Well, I hit for $200 on the Kentucky Derby.
Hey.
Yep.
Right.
Got that guy.
Right.
Exactly.
Oh, man. How many of us on the call?
Exactly.
Seven? Seven or eight of us on the call? Curtis got the bill.
Yeah, got that. Well,
I can buy three
meals
of asparagus.
Curtis is like,
shut up,
Rob. What?
Yeah.
What's the sink? Thank you.
Shut up.
If I would have hit that exacta, I could have walked away with $3,000. Couldn't get the exacta. But because that. If you guys know, a 48-1 came in third play, and I missed it because I didn't get my chance.
Man.
I don't do what I usually do, and be on the computer and study all this stuff beforehand. I just did it that day, and I did something stupid. I put the long shots in the winner spots instead of the. I should have put them in the show.
Oh.
If I would have put those long shots in the show spot. I would have been hard to contain. That would have been
harder to contain.
Yeah, that would have been
harder to contain.
hard to contain.
You had that one horse that guy scratched it because he freaked out right before the race started, and there was a lot of people that picked him to be in that top three. I forget his name, but he completely damn near threw the jockey off his back, and he failed. And they had to scratch him before the race started. That was crazy.
I almost went there.
Well, Curtis really does, you know, looks at this horse racing, and I'm surprised that he didn't steady up because he's got about a 10-year, correct me if I'm wrong, about a 10-year winning record.
I think I'm nine now.
Nine, okay.
Nine-year winning. But I want to do the three. I only do the Triple Crown, Kentucky Derby, Preakness, and Delmont. I don't do that racetrack every day, but I've been on those websites. There's a lot of cats doing this shit. Sorry. Doing this stuff.
If you get through JQ, you're
doing
good.
Doing this stuff every day. There's a lot of cats doing this stuff every day. And you can bet the horses every day.
Degenerate portion of the community. There's one in every sport. Degenerate group.
Hey man, make some money, man. I'm not a huge big gambler, man, but I'm in, man. Whatever I can do, make it happen, man. That's what it's all about. All right, gentlemen. Before we wrap up, I'm gonna give you guys opportunity to pick a topic if you guys want to talk about, and we'll wrap up the show before I pass out, man. After a long trip, man. But we know how that goes. And Naj, if you want to give us some topics that you can, that's totally fine too. So we'll go around the room from Rob, JQ, West Coast, and we'll bring it back to Naj if you will, man. So we'll go ahead.
Well, I'm going to start off with the Celtics and the Raptors here. Game 7 tomorrow night here. And, a week ago tonight, OG saved the Raptors from going down 3-0. Now all of a sudden, we got a 7-game series all of a sudden there. And, I'm really looking forward to this matchup. And, looking at this series, you can see that the Celtics are the more talented team. The Raptors have to out-hustle and out-execute the Celtics in order to have any chance of winning in these games that they've won. And that's what it's going to come down to for them. They have to outwork the Celtics. But you can see from an athleticism standpoint, the Kemba Walker, Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, Toronto don't have anybody with that kind of athleticism on their team. So they really have to out-execute and out-hustle and be smart in order to win. And they would need Serge Ibaka and Kyle Lowry to come up big. And they need Pascal Siakam to be the Pascal Siakam we've seen all season. He hasn't been that in the series. And Jaylen Brown has done a tremendous job on the defensive end against him. But last night that game was a phenomenal game, instant classic. And so I'm really looking forward to that game 7 on tomorrow night. And I'm really happy the NBA put that one as the second game as opposed to the first game, which has been happening for the most case. So really looking forward to that. I think the Nuggets go down. It looked like that 7-game series against the Jazz has wore them out. It looked like they don't have any fight. And so I can see the Clippers ending that one on tomorrow night. But you're really looking forward to that game 7. And then, the Lakers and the Rockets, what you're seeing is the Lakers getting it done on the defensive end right now. And they're getting a lot of transition buckets. And that's what it's going to take for them to be successful. And their size is just beating up the Rockets in the paint. And I said this on the show last week. Russell Westbrook is just not the same Russell Westbrook. He's not fitting into that team right now. And I could really see the Lakers winning that series in 5. I said that on the show last week, and I could really see that happening this weekend as well. But so we see the Clippers in 5. We see the Lakers in 5. Really looking forward to that Raptors-Celtics game tomorrow night.
I'm going to tell you like this. I almost didn't get on this call because the number boys was up 23 points and then decided that he was going to just play junior varsity basketball for the last 5 minutes and let the Rockets almost win that game. I was like, there's no way I can get on this call. If they lose this game, they're going to clown me. It's going to be so bad. But Caruso came through for them. Yeah, oh, my God, that was so bad. I just was like, I'm glad the Chiefs and the Texans are on, so I don't have to watch this. But I really feel like the Lakers are going to blow this game 5 because I think they gave them too much confidence at the end of that game. They're going to come out like a day school. I think the Lakers win in 6. I think the Clippers win in 5. And I think we get that L.A. matchup that we thought we were going to get. And I said when these semifinals started in the East, I called the Heat over the Bucks, and I called the Celtics over the Raptors. So I'm going to stay with that as much as I hate the Celtics. But I think Siakam is one of the few dudes on the Raptors that can match up athletically. But you're right. Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum are giving him all kind of fit. And, again, like we talked about last week, it's one thing to be Robin. It's another thing to be Batman. And he's got to be Batman, Superman, Captain Marvel. He's got to be everybody in Game 7. So we're going to see if he's up to the task. And how much is deflating for Boston? Because you looked at that second overtime, I think Boston was up 5 or 6, and you're thinking, okay, they're going to close this out. And then Kyle Lowry played 53 freaking minutes in that game. And OG just willed them in that game. So it's going to be really interesting to see how that plays out, for sure.
Yeah. And one thing, another thing, too, with that Toronto team, Nick Nurse, you know, shortening their rotation, I think was really key for them. Because he had some guys that were playing that just did not fit in playing against the Celtics. And so I think shortening that rotation was really key and really a smart move by Nick Nurse. Obviously, it's playing a lot of guys, a lot of minutes, as you just mentioned. And they're going to have to will themselves to fight in that game tomorrow night. But that was a real key move by Nick Nurse in shortening that rotation and giving them a chance.
And with Coach Boyd came from Milwaukee.
In the Western, in the Western
definitely
Conference.
Definitely a great call with Miami beating Milwaukee. That was not a series at all. I mean, that was definitely a great call. And you got to give Spoelstra, he's a very underrated coach.
Yeah.
I mean, really underrated coach. When you look at Bam Adebayo, what he's giving you on the boards, he's almost becoming a young Ben Wallace type player with a little bit of offensive game too. The rebounder, defensive player, strong down low, Jimmy Butler, and Goran Dragic having a good year. Tyler Hero shooting the basketball. They got a solid team. I don't know if I would predict them over Toronto or Boston, but you got to be impressed with what they were able to do so far here in the playoffs.
I think this is a year where, you know, you got two teams. You got the Lakers and the Clippers. They're on a collision course. You know, they're going to meet in the Western Conference Finals. And I'm going with L.A. in that series.
okay.
I'm going out on a limb. I'm going with L.A. But I'll tell you what. I think this is going to be one of those things that whoever wins that series, I think it's going to be a good series. I give the upper hand to L.A., but I think the Clippers are the closest thing to them, to the Lakers. I give the Lakers the upper hand, but in that series.
Oh, wow. Okay.
But I think it's close. I think the Clippers are the only team that can really give them a good scare. But I think whoever wins that series is going to slaughter the East. And I don't care who's in the East.
Anthony Davis is going to have to be the key for the Lakers. If he's a duh, because I don't know if the Clippers have an answer for him. And if he's dominant, then I see the Lakers winning that series. Yeah. He's going to have to be the difference maker. It's not going to be LeBron James. It's going to have to be Anthony Davis. The Clippers don't have an answer for him. And like I said, if he comes to play and be dominant every night, I think the Lakers win that series. That's a big if. But I agree with you. I think that's the championship series. The Lakers and the Clippers, whoever wins that series, is going to be the NBA champions.
Yeah, that's a given. I'm going to go this route. My other team is the Denver Broncos. And when Von Miller went down, that broke my heart. And then I found out that they also lost two offensive linemen, and Bradley Chum is not going to be ready. It's going to be a heartbreak season for me and what the Denver Broncos are going to be able to do. I will be surprised if they can do anything. But I think that's what football is going to be. Football is going to be who's going to be the healthiest.
That's the way it is.
At the end of the season, is going to be the champion.
Yep.
All right, Nash, wrap this up, man. You want to give you the topic?
Right, I'm with Gary. It's a game of attrition. Going back to that Portland series, Toronto-Boston series, like, people got to understand, Kyle Lowry is Chris Paul's son. He steals possessions. He flops. He gets officials to do things that they shouldn't do. Like, he just really did the game in the system. And that's why it's so hard to get rid of those dudes, man. They just play a certain brand of basketball every night. Like, the Raptors can never play at a 10, but they play at a 7 every night. That's what you're going to get, and it's hard to get rid of them. Boston is way more talented and probably will cause a bigger problem for the, you know, whatever team comes out the West. But Toronto doesn't want to let them get by. So I hope Boston wins so we can have a better finals. But it's hard to call, man, just because of what Toronto does. Like, they just gum up the works of everything. They're out there playing triangle and two and boxing one and hacking people and jumping around. And the carcass of Marc Gasol is still playing 25 minutes a game. How? I don't know. Like, they are some amazing dudes. And lastly, I got to say, man, everybody was mad at Steve Nash for getting that job. And no, I don't think he deserved it. But, boy, is that going to be funny next year. I don't think he understands what he's signing up for. Kyrie Irving, in his last year in Boston, asked the boy, Coach Brad, what do you think government is? And waited for a serious answer from Coach Brad, who had to delay and try to think of something that would not get this space cadet to start acting crazy again. That's what Steve Nash is going to be dealing with on a day-to-day. Like, I don't think people understand. They're going to have championship pressure with KD, who they're going to have to load manage, and Kyrie, who is an insane person. Steve Nash is going to want out of that job by the first couple of months. He signed up for a death march, and it's going to be hilarious when we get the media asking questions, Kyrie giving responses, and then Steve Nash having to respond but not try to piss off Kyrie. Dude, it's going to be funny. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, I said that on the show last week or the week before. I can't remember the difference. And you got to ask a question. What's the difference between the Celtics this year and last year? Getting rid of Kyrie Irving was a plus. A lot of people thought it was going to have a drop-off going to Kemba Walker, but Kemba Walker has been an upgrade. He's been a team player. You know, he's more athletic. A better defender, and he's been an upgrade for that Celtics ball club. And I'm with JQ. I don't like the Celtics, but, you know, they possibly would be a more entertaining finals if they were to make it there. But, you know, I definitely don't like the Celtics either.
What you know about that triangle of two, that Rick Majerus, that Utah defense? Come
right.
on, now. You old, bro.
The triangle of two,
hey,
man.
Hey,
he brought it back.
And truth be told, Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, do not want Gordon Hayward to come back. They like getting these shots. They like getting these shots.
Wow.
They do
I told
not
you.
Want
wow.
back.
I told you that. I told you that they didn't need him. I told you he was gumming it up. He let everything else be free with those two because neither
but
one of those
Rob
two want to play the
you'd
two.
Rather have him. You'd rather have him there than not just to have an extra, like, piece of higher gun off the bench. But I totally
they don't
want to
play
like,
the
we
two.
We didn't think, you know. He doesn't. I'm telling you, though, but like I said, I see what Rob was saying, too, because Rob's like, you know, he is an asset, but, you know, I don't know. It doesn't look like he's, like, highly needed at this juncture, you know, so I don't know.
Yeah.
All good.
But I think if you have him, you're better off keeping the same starting lineup you have and use him as a guy that can come off the bench and score. I don't think you
that's
want him in the starting lineup. I don't think you want to mess up that chemistry right now
don't
that
mess
they
it up.
Have.
Don't mess it up at all, yeah.
Yeah.
Leave it alone.
You want to use him as a guy that can come off the bench – be a microwave-type player that can just come off the bench and shoot the basketball. And that's what he can give them an asset. That's where he can really help them is to really help that second unit.
Yeah, they need him, especially in the finals. I'm just saying Jaylen and Jason, I don't think they want him. I think them two dudes like eating, and they don't want to shoot.
Yep.
So it is what
it's true.
And Marcus Smart has been shooting the basketball like – unbelievable. I mean, he hadn't shot the basketball like this in his whole NBA career, and all of a sudden he's just gotten extremely high shooting the basketball from a three-point
range. Which lets us know the apocalypse is near. The sky is orange on the West Coast. Like, weird things are happening. Like, I don't know what to say about that. That dude, no, he
Marcus
can't shoot.
Smart.
He's shooting it all confidently. Like, what the hell?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. it's about to go. That confidence, man, that's definitely – you can't teach that, man. So, all good. Curse
and his defensive
quiet,
too.
Man. You guys good, Curse Gary? You guys good, man?
Hey, you guys, I'm off work tomorrow. Let's just stay up. Forget it. Let's just stay up. Let's chat. You know, let's talk some sports. Let's talk some sports till 3 o'clock in the morning. Let's do this.
That can be you guys.
I am out.
Y'all can be Rod. That can be two. Y'all can just go all out,
what's
man. Y'all can just stay on, man.
Everybody got to call out sleep. Everybody got to call out
sleep.
Yeah, for real, man. So, yeah, I
need some good sleep. I got to get up to run my 5K in the morning.
Damn.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. Okay.
That's why he ain't eating asparagus. You know.
I got to run that 5K and eat asparagus, man, you know.
You got to stop at the porta potty on 2.5 weeks in. Yeah, you can't do that.
Trying to get my boy's figure back.
Oh, my gosh. I'm going to do it.
There's going to be one good poop at the end of that run. Let's go.
Rob,
if not the middle, stop break.
It's breaking up.
Non-stop, man. Non-stop. No break.
All right, man. I'm going to sleep.
Wrap it up, Rob.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you all for tuning in to another great edition. We had a lot of fun tonight. We're going to have a lot of fun on Wednesday night next week, too, so make sure you do not miss it. Make sure you dial in. Follow us on Twitter and Facebook all week, and we'll keep you posted. We'll recap week one of the NFL, and, yes, week one of college football, too. And Notre Dame Duke, JQ, get ready. Yeah, you're going to have to report out on it next week. And we'll keep but we'll definitely recap week one of the NFL and get you ready for week two of the NFL and keep you posted on what's happening in the NBA playoffs, so you don't want to miss the show on next Wednesday night, people. We'll see you then. Like I said, write us on Facebook and Twitter. We'd love to hear your thoughts on the show. Good night, people.
Yeah, absolutely.
Peace out, gentlemen. Good thing you got back on. We appreciate you.
Always. Good show, fellas. I highly like y'all on Wednesday.
Good stuff, man. Be good. Be safe, guys. Have a good one. We'll talk soon. Peace.
Night,
yep.
Good night.
Good night.